All right, let's take our text of scriptures from the book of Hebrews chapter 6. There are two scriptures I want to read, and you'll find out the reason in a moment as I begin to use it to explain what we are discussing today. Where I'm going is verse 12, but as usual, I like to read in context. I'll start from verse 9. He said, but beloved, he said but because there was things he said beforehand about people who are falling away, and all of that, who have tasted the good word of the Lord, and then things went wrong with their faith. And then he said it's impossible for them to be renewed again to repentance. And I said, but beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you, and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way, that is, we are speaking in such a manner so as to warn you. He said, we are convinced of better things. Why are we convinced of better things? He said, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name, in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. Now notice that word, the full assurance of hope, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherits the promises. Now let me just read something from verse 13. Verse 12 is where I really want to read, but let's just go down a bit so that I can highlight some things. Notice that verse 12, it said, people inherit the promise that God gives to them through their faith and their what? Their patience. He said, for when God made a promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no other, no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And thus, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. Let me just stop there. Now, again, quickly open your Bible to the book of Romans chapter 4. We'll read that, and then I can begin to round off the things we have been saying about the fruitful life. Let's bear in mind, fruitfulness is very important with God. God did not call his children into the earth just to get by. It was never his plan that your life would just be basically okay. If you read the parables of Jesus Christ, you will notice something that he used to say. When it comes to rewarding the servants, he will tell you that a man gave talents to his servants, and you see the disposition of the Lord towards the servant according to how they performed with the talents that he gave to them. God's purpose is that your life will be fruitful. He said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Multiplication is a plan of God for your life. A man that is fruitful, his life is characterized by multiplication. Do you get my point? He's not in the same spot every time you come and meet him. Do you get what I'm going to explain? And I really thank God that for, at least, I can give that testimony for Kingdom World Ministries. There's no year that has met us the same way. Are you getting my point? And if we are to plot it the way things have been going, in 10 years' time, even me, I'm afraid of what we'll be doing. No, believe me. Believe me. I know the way we started. My wife and I, we sit down folding tracts in the house, just tracts. Then the following year, we started teaching here. You get my point? And that one continued. Then books started coming out one by one. Then one day we jumped on radio. The following year, we doubled our airtime on radio. The following year, we added, a year or two later, we added the NTA. Pulled out AT shortly after and then immediately went on Omega Channel, and now we are tripling our airtime in less than 3 months of being on Omega Channel. That's fruitfulness. That here, amen. Is what? Fruitfulness. Let me just say this so that some people understand. A lot of problems we have in Christianity arose from the fact that we misdirected the aim of fruitfulness. Do you understand? If you notice, I have not testified about how I had one car, then I have 16 now. I have not said that. Okay, is the ability to bless people. All right, is fill the earth and subdue it. That's what we are talking about. Is what? Fill the earth and subdue it. No matter the number of cars you have, you can't subdue nothing more than you and your friends that are sitting inside the car. You're already subdued by the amount of wealth that's weighing you down. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. Fill the earth and subdue it is to have influence. All right, and I like to just explain this. It's not just for preachers, this is very important. Everybody, I've just given myself as an example because I'm doing the work of the ministry of the word, okay? But it's not only that. If you are building a business, you should have such a testimony that last year all we're producing was maybe 50,000 units of this our product in a year. But this year, we are now able to bless 150,000 people. That's the target. Oh, let me just digress. Let me tell you something. Christianity, oh my God, is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. It's the motive behind what you're doing. Today, as I was walking into my study, trying to get ready for this evening's meeting, I remembered one counsel that somebody gave me some time ago, a man of God. And I just remembered it, and I started disagreeing with it again. Do you get my point? So I was not telling myself that, okay, what was wrong with what he said? All right, so I began to analyze that. Is it that the method he's using? Yes. My first problem with when he was counseling me about ministry work, the issue was the method. All right? That, okay, it's better to do this thing like this and like that. And I realized that the method, they were wrong. I mean, by my understanding, okay? They're not correct. But it's not. That's not the main problem. I thought about it today. The main problem was what? The motive. The motive. It's when the motive is wrong, then the method starts going in every direction. When the main thing you are trying to do is not correct, you now discover wrong ways to serve God. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? See, in Christianity, if you get your motives right, you will be amazed at the kind of doors of opportunities that God will open your eyes to. You will see things that people did not know were present there. And what ignites that is your motive. Are you getting my point? I remember somebody has advised me, we were just discussing, not really advising me, we were just discussing. Oh, they say he wants to go on TV so that he can increase his revenue base. We are both doing the same work of the ministry. And in my mind, I have to go on TV to increase my revenue base. That's why when they give you 30 minutes to preach, you will spend 15 minutes begging for money. Because you came on TV to increase your ability to get revenue. You become a marketer. Do you get my point? But no, you heard me say it before. For me, look, if we can't pay for it, that means the time has not come. All right? If we pray to God and God does not supply the resources the way we can be proud of, there are different ways. Let me tell you, if you want to know whether God is with you or is not, if you cannot tell anybody at all what it is you are doing, it's only the results you can share with them, something is wrong. Do you hear what I said? Something is wrong. If nobody can understand with you how the job came and how you executed it and how you got the money, something is wrong. You are fundamentally doing something that is wrong, because it is not just to come and brag. God is not interested in just the results. He's interested in the process that went through your heart and through your life in getting that result out. That's what he's interested in. That's why he said, Paul planted, Apollos watered. God gave the increase. The increase is God's. So God does not allow you really to brag on the increase. It is God that brings that fruit into your life. What God said a man should be able to brag about is that he can say, I know God. That is, when I was making my decisions and taking the steps, I took all those steps in the fear of God. Are you getting my point? What was I saying? I said Christianity is beautiful. All right? When you get your motives right, you'll be amazed at what God will do in your life. Let me say this again. We're talking about the fruitful life. And I said I'm discussing how Christians get results. Listen, results are automatic with us if every other thing is right. Quickly, before you read out Hebrews and Romans chapter 4, quickly open the book of Isaiah chapter 40. We'll come back to Romans chapter 4. But just first, Isaiah chapter 40, from verse 3. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Now notice verse 5. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now let me just stop there. Now what is he saying here? If you are going to experience the glory of God in your life, it's not because of too much crying, but because of what? Appropriate preparation. Please, I've been emphasizing that. I just need to go over that again as a form of review, and then from there go into my message for today. We'll get back to that Romans chapter 4 in a moment. What I've been saying all this while is that this is how Christians get results. Let me summarize it. One, I said it's based on what? Promises. That the reason why you will prosper in life is not because you desire prosperity. It's not because you work towards prosperity. And it's not primarily because you are a giver. Why do you prosper in life? Because God promised that you will prosper. Do you know the reason why you will live long? Not because your genes are healthy. Not because you know how to jog. you can jog into the path of a moving trailer. Do you understand the principle there? So it is not because you know how to jog. It's not because you know all the health habits. It is simply because God gave a promise. He poured it into the life of anyone who will love him. He said, with long life, I will satisfy him. And I will show him my salvation. Are you getting my point? So even though, all right, you go out and the doctor said that they've checked you. You don't look like you will live long. Tell him, I'm coming. Let me go and take my medicine. What is your medicine? You go and consecrate yourself to God again. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. Then you go and say some things of the Lord. Then you come back and tell the doctor, let me tell you what God said. I shall live and not die. He said, how do you know? Because he said, with long life I will satisfy him. Once my love is upon the Lord, then with long life I will be satisfied. That is, the guarantee for long life for me is not that I know how to do the right medical things or take the right health, all right, precautions. No, it's simply because God promised and said, with long life I will satisfy him. Very important. Now, and I said that, having brought that one in mind, I said there are doors into the things that God wants to do in your life. Don't ever forget that. Don't forget that. And I said that David did not just wish Goliath would die. David was not expecting one interesting manifestation. Let me tell you something. When David was going to kill Goliath, he was not expecting a miracle. He said, Pastor Man, what do you mean? A miracle is when you don't know what's going to happen. Something will just happen. David knew I'm going to kill Goliath, and he had this method plotted out for the way Goliath would come down. And Peter said that is the entrance into his own eternal kingdom. That is, God will show you something to do, which will bring forth his glory in your life. And Peter said, if you want to be able to know that thing, what you do is that you add to your faith, what? Moral excellence. Number one is faith. You must know the promise. Okay? And hold on to the promise by the word of God. And then this is how you walk. Now listen to this. See where I was going. This is what I wanted to remind us of. This is how you walk towards the manifestation of God in your life as a believer. You start purging yourself from inside. Are you getting my point? Let me give an example. How do I get a very good wife? How do I get a very good husband? You can go for seminars. They tell you how to dress. I've read books like that. That God looks on the inside, but man looks on the outside. These men are still looking on the outside. Yeah, I know. I've seen things like that. They will tell you that. That men look on the outside. We're not saying you should not be righteous, but remember, men still look on the outside. They teach you all kinds of methods. How to talk to a woman, how not to talk to a woman, how to get a good wife, all kinds of stories. You know the one I see all the time. People will even tell you 725 questions to ask before you say, I do. Was your great-grandfather a juju priest? What difference does it make? I'm a royal priesthood of Christ Jesus. That's all that matters. What my great-grandfather was, none of my business. Whether he ate his wives for breakfast and sacrifice doesn't concern me. I don't care how many people he kills. That's his problem. I don't know him. My ancestor is the Lord Jesus Christ. All those questions, irrelevant. They say, you should know now so you can deal with it. Do you know how many things there are in life to deal with? Look at you. If you only deal with such things so you are not walking in faith. If you are constantly improving your life in the presence of God, don't worry about those things. So you learn all those methods, but God said, that is not how it is. And this is what I preach. How do I get a very good husband? I prepare to be a good wife. That's all. How do I get a good wife? I prepare to be a good husband. That is all. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is all. I wake up in the morning and say, this is my anger. We must deal with it. This is my carelessness. We must deal with it. This is my rudeness as a woman. A woman must never be rude. One thing a woman must never be in life is to have palpable bad character towards men. You must never... Look, it has nothing to do whether I'm looking for a husband or I'm looking for a wife. The issue is that a bad thing is what? A bad thing. In fact, two of my friends those days. You know, there are times... I normally don't talk so much. What I mean, I talk to my dad. My wife knows that. I don't like confronting people a lot of times. I leave you inside your wahala. If you don't want to do what is right, I won't say anything. But I remember two women who pushed me to the wall. And I talked to them. I said, look at you. look at me top to bottom. Don't I look like a husband? I said, the way you treat me is what will decide whether you get a good husband or you will not. Now, I'm not, the person I'm talking to, I'm not planning to marry her. But I'm just telling her ahead of time, this is how you sow a seed towards a good future. You treat men like me properly. You greet us nicely. You don't shout on us to shut up. You should talk to me nicely. I remember I told the lady, I said, listen, if you want to pray for husband, you go pray for better person way better pass me. You won't now. I'm your kind of vision for a man. Now, those are the things my wife didn't like to hear from my mouth those days. Interesting, I believed it too. It was later I heard that a lot of women didn't believe it. No, you know the interesting part? I believed it too. I wasn't joking. No. I thought I was the most handsome man in the world. I actually used to feel like that. You think I regret it? No! No, really. I felt that, look, it should be praying. I should be a prayer point for every woman. Now, I'm going somewhere. You say, if you just feel of yourself, no. That's not the thing. You know what happened? You know what really happened? I was so full of God. I knew that I wasn't an average man. I knew I would never die in an entity. I knew I was a blessing that God created for multitudes. And that it affected the way I walked, the way I spoke, where I went, and where I did not go. Therefore, I felt very wife with myself. You know what I mean to feel wife? Okay, let me give you a good an English word. I felt very good and glorious. I always had a smile on my face. And when you asked me, how are you doing? I said, life is good. It was later I found out that a lot of women didn't believe it. Later I found out a lot of them thought I was crazy. But it didn't make any difference. At least somebody finally believed it. Do you get my point? And the glory of God is being revealed in her life. Oh God, I wish you guys would catch what I'm saying. If you just misbehave like me, you will get a good wife like I did. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Anyway, I just digress into that, trying to bring out an issue. So the idea is this. We don't go out as believers struggling on the outside. You know what we do? We go inwards and struggle on the inside. Do you get my point? We pray to God to purge us of all things that are negative. We allow him to expose the hidden nonsense that's inside our hearts. Once he removes those things, believe me, the glory of God will automatically be revealed. Let me explain this again. You know, I'm aging very fast. I'm not physically in the body now, but in mind. I'm seeing a lot of things these days, and without trying to be judgmental and trying to curse people, there are people I look at. In fact, I was thinking of one guy this afternoon again. I was imagining that I will see him, and I know this will happen. I will see him one day in this building, and he will want to hide because of what he did to me. And I know, I will tell him, no, slow down. Don't run. I'm feeling sorry for you. He said, Pastor, let me tell you what happened. I said, no, don't tell me what happened. I can picture that's what he will say. Pastor, no, let me explain. I said, no, don't explain. I am feeling sorry for you. I'm imagining that in 20 years' time, you will meet me in a corridor like this again. And you will say, Pastor, now. And then by that time, you'll probably be in your 50s. And you'll probably be poorer than you are today. And I'm saying it to you, not because I'm angry, but because I'm actually feeling sorry for you. I want you to repent. I'm not making that an issue. There's a way you are doing your life right now. I just look at this young man and say, prosperity can never come like this. When your reputation amongst people is that anybody who wants to do business with you must never give you money. And they warned me, and I made a mistake and gave you money, and you proved them right. That once they give you money to do a business, you will never complete it. No matter the prayer you pray, if that's your reputation, you're in trouble. No matter your prayer, what God does for you, listen to this, is that he will show you that, oh boy, this is your reputation. Then you and him will walk until he brings forth a new reputation for you that people will know you for good. What am I saying? I have noticed these days that you look at people with spiritual understanding, no matter how much they talk or try to look like, you know the way they behave. You know, this is a behavior that tended towards poverty. And this is a behavior that tended towards prosperity. At least, this is the direction they face. Before we start discussing other factors that may affect it. I hope you're following what I'm explaining. I discovered that thing that Peter said is so true. That for believers especially, look, let's not struggle outwardly. We struggle on things that matter. Let's assume I'm a businessman. I should struggle on the integrity of my words. Not on connection. You know that man? I mean, give me a number. You want people to network you with people. Listen, it's better now fail among small people. I don't know whether you can go on and explain. Yes, let all your bad character be known by small people now. So that not because of them, but because of you. So that you are not exposed to great places with this evil nature that you have. At least God can reveal your wrong nature to you so that you will work on it. And like I said before, nobody, no believer should ever say, this is how I am. Nobody should ever say that. If you see what is wrong in your character, repair it. If you see what is good in somebody else, emulate it. You develop yourself, you fine-tune your person. What am I saying? Once we are ready, once we have properly developed inside, the glory of God will be revealed. Are you getting what I'm saying? The glory of God will be revealed. For the Christian, blessings are automatic. I want to say that again. God packaged blessings so that you will be blessed. God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. I learned that one long ago. It's in recent times I began to believe it even more. I discovered that there is nothing that I really desire in life, all right? That if the time is ripe, I ask God for it and it will be a blessing to me that he won't give to me. One of the things that God helped me with is I learned how to just, in prayer, I just say, God, you know I don't need that. It's desirable, everybody wants it, but let's think about it. Apart from the fact that I want to show off, what are we doing with it? Nothing. There are things I want that God says, this is not yet time. And I have discovered that when the time is ripe, in fact, there are things that I did not realize the time was ripe, that God just pushes them in my direction because the time is ripe, and I prayed for them years ago. Listen, as a child of God, oh God, I wish you would get this point. God is actually, personally watching over you. Are you getting what I'm saying? What he's saying is that, before I bless, you know what he told Abraham? Walk before me and be perfect. You can't carry my blessing without perfection in your life. I said to you before, the only difference between God and the devil is not in just what they promise. No, that's not where the main difference is. If you're approaching both of them, is the quickness of results you first notice as a difference. What do I mean? The fellow who performs faster, his name is devil. He's the fastest performer. He's the one that will walk to you and say, bow before me, worship me, and I give you everything. Say when? Yenzu now. Right now. That's how it's for right now. Right now, you bow, and tomorrow everything is with you. That's the devil. God is different. God says, you come to God and say, dear Lord, you know I'm a musician. God says, yes, I noticed. I made you one. And I want breakthrough. I say, fine. Please give me breakthrough. I say, come. This is breakthrough. I hereby pour breakthrough upon you. And you go there. You live there, expecting to wax an album, and then he sells. It sells plenty. You do the first one. In fact, before they finished in the studio, everybody rejected it. Said, this one, we can't make any copy. We will lose money. So you go back, as if you could go and see God physically and say, dear Lord, I don't get the point. You just told me now that you poured breakthrough upon me. The Lord said, yes, I did. In fact, I can still see it. It's still right there. How come? The Lord said, wait. There is a time for manifestation. And that time is not just about hours, you know, days and weeks and years. I need a time. I need seasons to perfect my work in you. Oh, this is how it goes, my boy. Did you understand? You walk before me and you are perfected. and then this thing will come into full manifestation. Until that time, boy, the blessing will just be hanging like that. If you die with it, I will pass it on to your children. Say, Lord, what are we going to do? He said, what you will do is that you will walk before me and you will be perfect. The devil says, right now, and let me say this to you again. There is nothing, you know, I've said this several times, I just like to say it until we all believe it. There is nothing that the devil can offer anybody that God did not plan to give the person. If God never plans to give you, the devil can't give you. Are you getting my point? Let me tell you, for example, you know, there's no governor that God did not make. I'm telling you, look, is that what the Bible says? There's no head of state, there's no president that God did not make. If only they will understand, they will know they did not have to join any group of people going to Longos at night to be swearing oaths. Let me tell you something. Nobody can threaten you if God sent into those political arena. They said that if you don't come with us, we won't agree. Tell them, don't agree. If God has made me, I will be, whether you agree or you don't. What people don't understand is that they think, all right, this is where they make the mistake. They think that these are the men that can make. No, they are just instruments in the hands of God. And for the child of God, they are the temptations of your life. God wants to see whether you will break the rules, whether you do what is evil, so as to get the desired result. What am I saying? If God said you will never be president, you will never be president. If he said you will never be governor, you will never be governor. No matter how much money you have. We saw what happened in Anambra City the other time. Whether I got it legitimately or illegitimately, Andy Uba declared over 1 trillion naira in assets. I thought it was a joke when they told me. I went and asked those who should know. The person gave me the right figure. And you know, God looked at him and said, you won't be the governor. You know that? He collected more votes than the number of adults registered to vote in Anambra State. And God looked and said, you will not be governor. He took the oath and became governor. And God said, so shall my word be. It will not leave my mouth and return void until it has removed you from that seat. If somebody can take a message to him for me, he should tell him that he should forget it. That if God indeed has appointed him, then maybe the time is not ripe. All this fighting up and down, going to one court after the other. All right? If you fight God too much, he might get angry. Some of these things, let me tell you what. Let me just give this an illustration. MK Wabiola, that man was rich. That man was very rich. Nigerians have gotten richer over the years. So I don't know whether some of these are big men. Apparently as rich as he was, I don't know. But those days, that guy dwarfed everybody in wealth. He had so much money. I read this on the pages of the newspaper. What Abacha told Godwin Dabo, that go and tell him he's too rich. I can't release him. Can you imagine? A head of state. So they should tell one of the citizens that you have too much money. You're a threat to me if you are free. While he was contesting to be president, I remember one statement he made. I didn't hear it directly. It was credited to him. They said, how are you sure you will win? He said, I have given to Nigerians. They will give back to me. And Tony Bakare said, this is where I'm going. Go and tell my brother he can never be president. You know, Tony Bakare, that man is a prophet. You know, I told you before, prophets that only bless you are not true prophets. Somebody say, it shall be well, it shall be well, it shall be well. This year, your problems have come to an end. The next service, he shows up. He said, today we have a special minister, Prophet Chukwubike. All right. And he shows up. As I was coming, God spoke to me and said, I should bless my people. Just not depends on a prophet. Either he's a backsliding prophet or just a practicing man of God. That is, he is not a prophet. Blessings are good, though. I did not say they are not good. Blessings are what? They are good. Except that I've read the scriptures. Most prophets don't talk until there's trouble. Most times. I didn't say all the time. I said a lot of times. Most times. So when you know a real prophet, he tells you good. He warns you concerning evil. Those who only bless people, I told you, for they are priests. Priests, go and check the Bible. Priests don't know how to do any other thing but bless. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. And that's all they know how to say. When they want to curse, they can't curse directly. They open the Bible. Cursed is the man that breaks this law. Everybody shall say, amen. That's all. Those are priests. That's why they're always blessing. We have those priestly functions. You should bless your children, bless your friends, bless your wife, bless people, bless the nation. But real prophets, you don't know them because they always show up with blessings. Now, anyway, this is my gist. Tunde Bakari rose up. Is there somebody, go and tell that my brother, because they are actually relatives, all right? Distant relatives. So go and tell him that he can never be president. All this one run up and down. He won't be president. With all the money my guy had, he won the election. I was in Taraba State. I was a youth cop at that time. I was in Kashaka local government, 1993. Coppers were, electoral officers. I didn't go because I worked as a doctor, so I was manning the clinic. But my colleagues came back, and M.K. Wabiola won properly, even in Taraba State. He defeated Tofa in his own local government in Kano. With all of that, God said, you will not be president. Do you know what happened? He won the election. But according to the word of the man of God, like the Bible will say, the man of God has said, NLC will lose, but SDP will not win. True, true. NLC lost. Declare SDP winner now. Nobody could. Now, what am I going to explain? If God doesn't make a man a ruler, no matter how much money he has, no man can make himself. No people can make somebody. I wish they will understand that. There was a young man who came, I told the story before. His own was even a small level. Local government chairman in Ebonyi State here. And he dreamt, and God told him that no matter what you do, you will not be a local government chairman. So he said that maybe I'm imagining things. And again, in the typical Nigerian fashion, he worked hard, he won the election. Except that something went wrong. Except that unlike M.K. Abiola, he knew the hand of God. Like David, he knew what was from the hand of God. When people were fighting, he just relaxed. And said, there's no need, guys, relax. The Lord said it beforehand, that we are not going to get this seat. This is a confirmation that God indeed is in charge. What am I saying? If people knew this, they won't join courts to become anything. They won't swear allegiance to anybody to become anything. They will go into their closets and swear their allegiance to God alone. Knowing that if he makes them, nobody can unmake them. Knowing that if he appoints them, nobody can change that appointment. They will pledge their consciences to God alone. If God is with you, listen to me, nobody, the whole house of assembly cannot destabilize you. I wish you would get the point of what God is like. This is how terrible God is. I say this a number of times because people don't hear from anywhere else. This is how terrible God is. If he says you will not impeach this man, and all of you insist on impeaching him, he will do to you what he did to Assyrian soldiers. In one night, he killed 125,000. There are no accidents in life, God knows how to remove people. He said, okay, you guys have agreed to go against my will. Watch me. Honestly, if men will understand this thing we are saying, they won't enter into office and be afraid of anybody. They will look people in their faces and say, wait. It is the will of God. I like one thing in car, nice. We're discussing one in the car. We traveled together yesterday. And it reminded me of one scripture. That the Bible says many are the devices in the heart of a man, but only the counsel or the purpose of God will stand. You know, until that scripture came up in our discussion, the way I used to hear it is this. No matter what I devise about my life, it's only what God says that will stand. Do you understand? But as we're discussing, it came from another angle. That no matter what men, do you get what I'm saying, conspire about, devise in their hearts, only the counsel of God for my own life will stand. Do you get the point I'm making? I went to the vision to bring out an issue. This is how we Christians get results. We don't labor outside. It's good to learn business principles. But this is what God is doing in your life. I said before, the reason why you work as a believer is not because of money. God gave you a job for two reasons. Number one, he planted skills in your heart and he allowed you to learn skills with time. So he said, go and bless people with it. The number one reason why you work is to be a blessing to somebody. I told you Christianity is very different. Our motives are different. We don't just get up, right, trying to grab. No. If I won't bless you, I don't want the job. If the job will not add to somebody's life, I don't want it. If I will leave a place and nobody will notice I left, I don't want the job. I don't know. Do you get what I want to explain? If I would depart from a place where I'm working and nobody will notice by reason of the amount of impact I've had in their lives, it's not a good job. That's how believers reason. The second reason believers work, I told you, is so that through our interactions with people, through our interaction with the world, through our interaction with other believers, through our interactions with things in life, the hidden parts of our hearts are exposed. And then we can go through the proper purification. Because without that purification, what God planned to achieve through us will never be done. I read Isaiah chapter 40 to bring out that issue. God said, elevate the valleys, bring down the hills. What are we trying to do? We want to make a straight path for God. Once that path is made, the glory of God does not require begging. It is released automatically. He said, then the glory of God will be revealed. Please, I hope you understand that. Listen, I just can't get away from this. Your destiny is a result of a promise. You know what promises mean? If you go and read that Romans chapter 4, we'll read a bit of it in a moment. What Paul was trying to explain there is that promises were made before you did anything. I don't know whether I get my point. A man told me once, and let me tell you something. When I make statements sometimes, I'm trying to correct people from things that, they appear totally wrong, all right? But that they are low levels. We are advancing Christianity. Do you get my point? We started somewhere. One day the man, he was working for me and we're just chatting. And he explained to me that God is blessing him because he understood that prosperity is because of covenant. And when a man makes that statement, I agree with him instantly because actually the covenant which we cut with God in Christ Jesus is what gave us access to the promise of God. Are you getting my point? I thought that's where he was going. Except that when he reads his covenant, I got confused. That is the covenant he has made with God. He bought God something, God will bless him in return. I looked at him like, what? That there is a keyboard he bought either in one church or in one fellowship. Anytime they are playing it, it is singing in heaven and commanding blessing for him. I look like, who deceived you? So what is his covenant? His covenant is that he buys God a keyboard and God puts music in his life. And I looked at him like, oh boy, who deceived you? That's not true. It's not true. Prosperity indeed is a matter of covenant. But what do you mean by covenant? There's a covenant that Jesus took a cup, said this is the blood of the new covenant. If you drink of that cup, you are part of the new covenant. When Paul was describing the Gentiles, he said they were without hope and without God. He said they were alienated from the commonwealth. Notice the word wealth of Israel. That is, Israel had a blessing because of their covenant with God. And he said, it is the Lord thy God that giveth it power to get wealth, that he might fulfill the covenant, not that you made with him, but the one that he swore to your fathers. Do you get what I'm saying? So look at him and say, who deceived you? Yes, prosperity is by covenant, but not a covenant you get up and say, God, let's make an agreement. I will give you shoe, you will give me house. God said, do I look like I want to wear something? What am I talking about? That the promise was made, that's where I'm going, before you did anything.
You get what I'm saying? So it's not as if I gave God this and he's giving me back. No! The promise was made before you did anything.